All right, first place I'm going to have you turn this morning is the book of Acts, chapter number 1. Book of Acts, chapter number 1. Get this turned on, maybe that'll be better. Always is. Acts, chapter number 1 this morning. We want to talk about, as we've been looking at the matter of the church and our church membership and different aspects of the church. And this morning, I want to take us in a direction that I hope that we will focus upon for in our lives, not just in the next couple of weeks leading up to the election, but just we need to have a heart full of prayer. And we're talking about agreeing together in prayer. I know we can pray, and we should pray, in our solitude. I know many of you have devotions, personal devotions, and in those devotions you'll not only read the Word of God, but you'll pray. That's good. It ought to be done. But there's also ought to be a coming together of God's people to pray. Let's look at Acts 1. And this is where the Lord Jesus Christ has ascended up into heaven. And his disciples have returned to Jerusalem. And there they are simply just being obedient to what the Lord told them to do. And that's what we're to do also. I mean, you know, the Lord has some things that he just wants us to be obedient to him. And we need to seek his guidance in when we come to maybe a difficult situation or a situation where you really don't know what to expect. And that's what you got here. The Holy Spirit had not come in to indwell the hearts and lives of the believers as of this point, but the Lord had said he was going to send the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And it was going to be a time when they were going to receive power. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, there in verse number 8. But they were told to wait and tarry in Jerusalem until they were endued with that power from on high. And we find them doing that same thing. What the Lord told them to do, we find them in obedience. And may the Lord find us in obedience, doing what he would have us to do. Look at verse 12. And this is right after the Lord ascended. Then returned they into Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem the Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all, notice this, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. And you'll find, I like the fact that they're in one accord. It's sad when you can't have accord in the house of the Lord. Sadly, it's missing in a lot of places. There's a lot of fussing and fighting going on in the name of the Lord. Let me just let you know, God's not in that. If you're dwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, and I'm indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, and we're walking in the Spirit of God, we're going to walk in agreement. Okay? The Holy Spirit's going to walk in us, and he's in agreement with himself, and he's in agreement with the Word. He's the author of the Word. And so he's not going to have one of us walk some contrary to what's in this book, and he's not going to have us walk contrary one to another. And if two people thinking they're both filled with the Holy Spirit are at odds one with another, can I tell you that at least one or possibly both of them are wrong? Okay? It's a possibility both are wrong. neither one of them walking, but both of them walking in the flesh. And boy, when you got two people walking in the flesh, you really got a problem. Am I right? And when you get two people in the flesh, you're going to have a big knockdown, drag-out fight. And unfortunately, sometimes you see that in a local assembly, and it ought not to be. I grew up in church. Y'all know that. I grew up in it from the time I was 8 till the time, till now. The church has been an independent fundamental church. Before that time, up to age 8, it had been a Southern Baptist church. But I can't tell you the number of times I sat in on business meetings of the church and seen people who were supposed to be saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, amen, brothers and sisters in Christ, unable to agree one with another over some of the simplest matters, over some of that would get upset over some of the craziest things you could possibly think of. The color of carpet. I remember when they were going to change. We had terrazzo floors in the church that I grew up in. It was terrazzo floors, and from the time I was probably about 8. I mean, that's when they built a new building just before age 8. Probably about 6 or 7 years old. Built a new building, put terrazzo floors in there. Later on, folks decided they wanted carpet. Well, all the church except one individual wanted red carpet. And this fella left over that church putting red carpet in there because it reminded him, he's a postal carrier, it reminded him of the red carpet lounge where he delivered mail. He let the flesh get the best of him. Is what he did. And my understanding, he totally got out of church over the matter. Well, that tells you something right there. He didn't have much spirituality in him to allow it to take him totally out. But I just remember there being, that's just one example of things that can happen in the church, and I really guard against that type of thing. I try to keep it where there's no opportunity to have something like that, because God's not in it. Okay, God's not in it. And here we see these folks up in the upper room in one accord, but not only in one accord, but they're praying together. They're in prayer and supplication. In the New Testament, we find the church having two distinctively different kinds of meetings. First, you'll find that they gather together for the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. And that's needed. I don't think you can emphasize the Word of God enough. The Word of God is what's going to change each of us.
Amen.
We need to be under the teaching and preaching. The more I know about this book, the more I know this book, the more that I am changed into the likeness of Christ. And that's the way it's going to be. If you want to change in the likeness of Christ, you got to emphasize the book. But the second kind of meeting we find in the New Testament is one that many churches, sadly today, have neglected, and it's the prayer meeting. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 and verse number 15, Paul is speaking to these Christians at Ephesus, this church. These are, it's a gathering, a called out assembly of believers. And he is admonishing them how to walk, admonishing them how to behave. And he says there in verse 15, Ephesians 5:15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, how are you going to understand what the will of the Lord is? You got to be in the book. That just makes sense. Okay? But he goes on to talk about the Holy Spirit here in verse 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit, he's comparing to being under the influence of an intoxicant. If you're drinking, you are under the control of that you've drunk. If you are filled with the Spirit, you're under His control. That's what he's getting us to take a look at there. But let's move on. He says in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And then verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we don't give thanks the way we should. And we know we're coming up on Thanksgiving season, but really Thanksgiving season ought to be a continual season in the life of the Christian. Giving thanks always for all things unto God. And he talks about there to pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus is authority and power. And he is our conquering Christ. And we must come together in the name of Jesus Christ and pray in His name. Now, we know that prayer declares our dependence upon God. You'll notice in the morning service, we're going to use an example from Old Testament Scripture of God's people. A particular king and God's people showing their dependence upon God. They were in a crisis situation. The enemy was at the gate. The enemy was fixing to come. And they cried out to the Lord. They gathered together and they prayed. We saw in Acts 1:14 that the church met together, not to preach or teach, but to pray. And they needed to know what to do. I mean, you know, they've been told you're going to be endued with power from on high. They didn't know what that power, they didn't know anything about being indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. They didn't know anything about what was going to transpire. And so I'm sure they were praying for wisdom. But they were also declaring their dependence upon God. They weren't depending upon self. They were depending upon the Lord, and they were being obedient. When you're dependent upon the Lord, you're going to be obedient in what He's told you to do, number one. And then you're going to show your dependence by waiting on the Lord for the answer to prayer. You know, you'll pray to Him, depend upon Him, and wait for that answer. Several different things as a church that we should pray for. Look at Matthew chapter 9 for a moment. Matthew chapter 9. Some things that Jesus told us to pray for. And many times you'll hear in the missionary prayer letters that we read, and we read those prayer letters on Wednesday night and pray for those needs. But in those prayer letters, oftentimes the missionaries will pray for help. You know, pray that God would send some more laborers over here. Pray that God would send, there's a lot of darkness. There's a lot of people need Jesus. Pray for the Lord to send folks over. And here in Matthew 9, verse 37 and 38, the Lord is looking at them. Of course, verse 36, let's look at verse 36 first. But when he saw the multitudes, here's a multitude of people. These people had come from the cities and the villages, and they had brought sick folks out to the Lord, and the Lord was healing them, and he was casting out devils. But these multitudes flocked to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And when you're in the United States, especially when you're down where we're at in what's known as the Bible Belt, sometimes there's a church almost every corner. You can drive down some roads and you'll see church after church after church just on one road. I was looking a month or two ago, I was going to a fellowship meeting over near the airport, and was on a particular road, Dunn Avenue. I was over on Dunn Avenue, and I was looking for this church. I'd never been to this church, and there must have been 15, 20 churches. I didn't count them, but it was like, well, there's a church there. Maybe that's it. Nope, that's not it. There's a note over here. No, that's not it. That's not it. That's not it. That's not it. And I thought, it's got to be around here somewhere. And finally got to it. But that's the way it is here. But that's not the way it is in a lot of places around the world. Some places there's not a good Bible teaching and preaching church. There's even some places in the United States where, you know, maybe if somebody's job takes them out west into a particular area, and most often they'll have a hard time trying to find a good Bible teaching and preaching church because there are areas where there are not any. Now, there's the liberal churches. There are the ones that gotten away from the book, but we need laborers. The harvest field is the world. Millions are lost in sin. And as a church, we should pray for God to send laborers into his harvest. We do not have laborers, I think, many times because we do not ask God for them. We prayed specifically for one of our families, the Berge family, that we just recently took on for support, going to South Africa, and they were praying that the Lord would raise up some folks to help them in the ministry God called them to do. And God did raise up a young lady that's going to go out and help them. And that was an answer to prayer. And they saw the need to pray and ask for that and asked us to pray. We prayed, and God answered the prayer. Others, are asking also for God to continue to send additional laborers, and God has been faithful in doing that. I know this whole South Africa ministry has been that way. Brother Hall was the first one that went there that we support. He was down in Peru before, but his brother started this ministry in South Africa, and felt led of the Lord to leave Peru and go help his brother. And they have been asking, I know, reading Brother Hall's prayer letters, praying for laborers, praying for laborers, praying for laborers. Well, God has sent laborers out there. And we've been reading where different families are getting ready to go. We know the Berges are going out there. We know the Underwoods just moved there. There are some other families that were mentioned by the Underwoods in their last prayer letter. Two other families, one fixing to come, and another one that's on deputation, headed that direction. Where do these folks come from? They come in answer to prayer. God's people pray, being faithful to pray, as a missionary says, pray to God would send me some help. And we pray that God would send some help for them. So through prayer, we seek God for laborers. Look at Matthew chapter number 18. Matthew 18. And I want you to see, as one body, we are to agree in prayer. And many times I will mention, as we go to the Lord in prayer, whether it be on Sunday morning or whether it be on Wednesday night, I'll mention, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And as I pray, you pray. Let's pray in agreement. Let's ask God to do something. Amen. And where do we get that? We get that from here. Matthew 18 and verse 19 and 20. Matthew 18 verse 19 says, "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." So this teaches us that the church is to come together as one body in agreement and pray. In many churches, people do not agree with one another, don't love one another, and consequently don't pray together. You know? We have power in prayer, and as we agree, we bind things together in prayer to God. And that's what I desire for our congregation, is to be one in prayer, praying, asking God for great things. I believe that what we're seeing in the election right now, the thing that cropped up on Friday afternoon, I believe is an answer to our prayer. There's a possibility for what has been stirred up again by the FBI against the Democratic candidate Hillary, that could cause some change in the way folks vote. And we've been praying that the Lord would save us from a Hillary presidency. And that's not because we're getting political. It's because of the Democratic platform. When you look at the Democratic platform, and there's copies of the Democratic platform back there. I encourage you, if you don't know what the Republicans stand for, what the Democrats stand for, we need to vote on the platform. If you can't agree with the particular candidate and say, "Well, I don't like his personality," or "I don't like her personality," "I don't like them as a person," but if they are the best candidate running, standing for the platform of their party, I think we're under obligation to pray. And we see that God answers prayer. We've been praying that God would do something, and I think we need to continue to pray. Okay? We'll be praying a lot right on up to the election and after the election. We need to pray, and we need to agree in prayer. Matthew 26. One of the ways that we seek God's protection is through prayer. You know, the possibility for any of us anytime is for us to fall into temptation. Some folks think that, well, it can't happen to me. Preacher friend, that just really shocked me the last couple of weeks when I found out he had been involved in an affair, left his wife, and is giving up a good church. Giving up a church, hurting a church that's already been hurt one time. And that church needs prayer. But look at Matthew 26, verse 41. So watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And you know, we may have indeed have a willing spirit and want to do what God would have us to do, but we need to realize that our flesh is weak. Your flesh is weak and my flesh is weak, and we need to lift up one another in prayer that we don't fall to temptation. A praying church will lift up one another in prayer, asking God to keep them from entering into temptation. I covet your prayers. I see so many men of God falling by the wayside. The closer we get to the Lord coming, I don't know what it is right now. But you see so much. People falling away from their once strongly held biblical beliefs. And they, for some reason, they get away from those biblical beliefs and embrace error. Or they get involved in things they ought not be involved in, and bring down not only the church, but bring down those that are watching them. Look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. In Acts 4, you'll find that Peter and John have been brought before the council, what we would know as the Sanhedrin, the 70. They were the ruling body of the Jews, made up of the Pharisees. And we see in after they had been let go, and I want you to pay attention to verse 23. Verse 23, and being let go, talking about Peter and John being let go by the council. They went to their own company, talking about went to the church. Okay, they went to the company of believers and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. When they heard that, notice what they did. They lifted up their voice to God with one accord. In other words, they were in agreement in prayer. They knew it was time to pray. Persecution was at hand. They had been told not to speak about this Jesus. And they threatened them, but they couldn't find anything whereby to punish him. And here we see they lifted their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord God, that Lord, thou art God which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up. The rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. What do we see them doing here? They were praying according to the word of God. Right? Our prayers ought to be according to the word of God. We see an example of something that the Word of God told us was going to happen. Well, we need to pray according to that. Are we seeing anything that the Bible says is going to happen in the last days right now? You think it ought to be a part of our prayers as we pray? Well, we'll go to 2 Timothy here in just a minute, but says here, verse 26, finishing out praying Psalm 2 here, the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ, and for the truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. They acknowledged that God was still in control. Even though Jesus was brutally treated, he came for that purpose. He willingly gave himself to be treated that way. Verse 29, notice what it says. It says here, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that we, with all boldness, they may speak thy word. So here in the face of persecution, they prayed that they might speak boldly. Verse 30, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Again, I want you to note the unity. Down in verse 33, says, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. There's blessing in being in agreement about the right things and in praying. And here we find an example of a praying church. In the face of opposition, they looked to heaven and said, God, you're God. You're God. Their faith was increased and their vision was enlarged. And why was that? Because they had been with God in prayer. Look at let's see here. Where I want to be at. Yeah, 1 Timothy. Just trying to find it. It's on a different page than another Bible, even though they're both Cambridge. Different page. I was looking in the wrong place. Looking where it would be at in this one. Say, why do you use two Bibles? I have them marked. Okay. I have one marked for Sunday school. Got my tabs and all in there. And I have the other one marked for the Sunday morning service. And I got tabs there. And that way I don't get confused. There's no time between the services to mark all that stuff. And make sure I'm headed to the right place. But this was not marked because the Lord just brought it to my mind. Okay. So that's the reason why we had a little difficulty in finding it. 1 Timothy 2, and verse number 1. Paul tells young Timothy, says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Now, I want you to look at that verse 2 there for just a moment. And then we notice that verse 3 also that was said, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. If we're to pray that we, for these kings and those who are in authority, we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty, should we not vote in the same way? Okay. And Hillary Clinton's already said what she's going to do with regard to people of faith. She thinks we ought to change and embrace homosexuality, that we ought to embrace abortion, and that if we don't, that we're going to be guilty of hate speech, and she knows she's going to seek to prosecute. Yeah. Already said it. You look at the platforms. Which platform you think would lead more to a quiet and peaceful life and lead to all godliness and honesty, us to be able to live in godliness and honesty? The Republican platform. I just be honest with you, because there's nothing godly about the Democratic platform at all. They're for killing babies. They're for all kinds of ungodliness. And they, even in their convention, they did not acknowledge God. Let's see here. Look at Acts chapter number 12. Next place, Acts 12. That won't cost you any extra. That was just a sidebar, okay? Just a sidebar. I was riding in the car this week and listening to to, I don't even know what I was listening to, but it brought my mind to that passage of Scripture regarding that very truth. Acts 12. Did I say Acts 12? Okay. Acts 12. Here we find Peter locked up by Herod. Now, understand, Peter has already, Herod has already killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Not looking real good for Peter right now. What did the people of God do? What did the church do? Look at verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Well, what did God do? Well, God answered those prayers. Shook that prison, chains, doors. Angel comes, unlocks there, shines a light in there, knocks Peter on the side. Hey, Peter, wake up. That's what it says. It says smote him. Smote Peter on the side down there in verse 7. Raise him up, saying, arise quickly. His chains fell off from his hands. The angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. He said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out, followed him. Rescued by an angel there. Well, he comes to his company, goes to the church. He knows that they're praying for him. Look at verse number 12. When he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. Notice, where many were gathered together praying. As Peter knocked at the door of the gate, the damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. When she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And, of course, they accused her of being crazy. Crazy woman. But he was out there in answer to their prayer. They were surprised. They were shocked. You ever been shocked when God answered your prayer? Yeah. Ought not to be, but sometimes we are, aren't we? This church faced a great trial because Peter had been in prison, and they dealt with the crisis by praying. And when they prayed, God delivered Peter unharmed. One last place, Colossians 4. Colossians 4. Colossians 4, verse number 1 through 3. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, and knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. Sometimes our tendency is to not continue in prayer. We pray, God answers, and we're okay until the next time. We all should continue in prayer. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all, Paul says, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. I mean, there's always something to pray for, right? Church was asked to pray that God would open to Paul and those that labored with him a door of utterance. Our missionaries need for us to pray for them, that God would open into them a door of utterance. We need to ask for God to open up a door of utterance to us as we go about day by day to be able to speak the gospel for Him. Amen. Give a witness. We must ask God to open up doors of opportunity to get the gospel out to the lost world. We got to work hard and be diligent, but it's prayer that opens doors and keeps them open. God will give us direction as we seek Him. So through prayer, we seek God for opportunities to spread the gospel. We can look at other places where Paul asked for prayer. In fact, one we will see next Sunday night. Paul says the very next verse that we finished verse 23 and 24 tonight, verse 25. He says, "Brethren, pray for us." Remember in Ephesians when he was talking about the whole armor of God, and he emphasized prayer in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, and I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Pray. Let's do it. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the time we've had together in the Sunday school hour talking about prayer. Lord, we can talk a good talk, but we need to walk in prayer. Help us to pray. Help us to spend time in prayer, praying one for another, praying for ourselves also. Lord, joining together as your people for your purposes. Help us now as we go into the morning worship hour. Lord, you know the hearts that will be here. We pray that you'd speak to each heart, each life. Help us, Lord, today we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.